Good morning. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to the City of Columbia Thursday, September 20th, Planning and Zoning Commission regular meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes.
I am here. Ms. Lowe?
Here.
Mr. Harder?
Here.
Mr. McMahon?
Present.
Mr. Stanton?
Here.
Mr. Strodman?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing?
Here.
Ms. Russell?
Here.
Mr. Tuohy? We have eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Approval agenda. Mr. Zinner, is there any changes to our agenda this evening?
No, there are not, sir.
Thank you, sir. Approval of minutes. We have two sets of minutes this evening to discuss. August 23rd, 2018, regular meeting minutes is the first one. Are there any corrections or notations needed to those minutes? If not, I'll take a thumbs up for the August 23rd notes. And that's unanimous for the ones that were here. We have a second set of minutes from our September 6th, 2018 regular meeting. Are there any changes or corrections needed to those notes? I see now to take a thumbs up for the ones that were here that evening. And it's unanimous for the September 6th minutes. Moving on to our first case this evening, we have a tabling request in front of us. It's case 18-166, a request by a civil group on behalf of Gary Ridenour to have 64.32 acres permanently zoned R1, one family dwelling, 2.29 acres permanently zoned MN, mixed-use neighborhood, and 2.3 acres permanently zoned MC, which is the city's mixed-use corridor, subject to annexation into the City of Columbia. The subject site contains a total of 68.98 acres and is presently zoned County A2, which is agricultural. The site is generally located east of Masonic Drive, west of Alfalfa Drive and Oakland Gravel Road, and north of Prathersville Road. We have a short staff report for the tabling request, Mr. Zinner.
Yes, you may, Mr. Chairman. As indicated, this particular parcel contains 68.98 acres. This is a permanent zoning request subject to annexation considerations by City Council. We're looking at three different zoning classifications. The bulk of the property is for residential use with a portion of the property at the corner of Oakland Gravel and Prathersville for MC, and then the interior portion of the property along Masonic Drive for the MN zoning designation. The applicant has presented a request to table in order to allow for they and the city staff to develop a development agreement. We met earlier today as it related to the terms of that development agreement, and believe that we will be able to complete the necessary paperwork by which to have the rough draft of that agreement completed by the October 4th meeting. Minor additional review is still being conducted by the city staff on a corresponding preliminary plat that goes with this, which does not require public notice and therefore is not being requested to be tabled at this time, as well as to address issues with the zoning, which is case number 18-166. The applicant is here this evening if you, or the applicant's representative, I should say, is here this evening, if you do have questions, and as you will notice, there are a number of people here in the audience this evening that I believe are the affected adjacent property owners in the Willowbrook subdivision, which is immediately to the east, Alfalfa, and then the Haystack Acres and Haystack Acres Addition developments to the north and east. With that, that is all we have to offer. We are supportive of the request to allow us to complete the necessary paperwork for that development agreement and ensure that we have the details associated with the property locked down in order to be able to come back with a full recommendation to the commission on both the preliminary plat and the permanent zoning.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Commissioners, any questions for staff on this tabling request report? I see none. As is in past practices, this is not a public hearing, but I will we will allow public input this evening. But I want to clarify what we're looking for right at this point. This is a tabling request. We are not looking right at this point for public discussion on the actual case. It's on the actual tabling request. So if you have some reason why you think we should not table it, that's what we'd like to discuss tonight. If you want to discuss why we should not approve this case. That's not what we want to discuss right now. So does that help everybody? My assumption is you're probably here to discuss the case more than the actual tabling. So the applicant and the city are asking for some more time. Is basically what they're doing. Is they're asking for some more time to work through some issues or some matters that they have not been able to get together at this point. So if we, as a commission, decide to table this to October 4th, then on October 4th, we would ask for everyone to come forward, or some of you to come forward, or whoever would like to come forward to speak to us on that particular case, why we should approve it or why we should not approve the case at that time. So hopefully that makes sense. Now, if for some reason we decide not to table it this evening, we could hear the case. But most times, in my experience of 8 years, we typically table it the first time to give everybody a chance to work through maybe some issues that maybe came to light later in the process, or they just had took more time than necessary, and we try to get both sides to come together before it comes to us, and that's what usually what a tabling request is about. So with that, I'll open up to anybody that I come forward, speak to us on the tabling request for this evening. If you don't have to, if you don't want to, but if you'd like to, that this is the time. If not, go ahead. And if you do come forward, we'd ask for your name and address.
My name is Jay Gephardt. I'm a civil engineer for a civil group here in Columbia, 3401 Broadway Business Park Court, here to answer questions of why we're tabling it.
Mr. McMahon?
Just one real quick. Are you as confident? Hi, Mr. Gephardt. Are you as confident as staff is in that October 4th is a no later than date that you all can meet?
Yes, we had a very productive meeting today.
Because I think we've got a lot of folks here who are going to want to discuss that. I just want to make sure we're going to not have them traipse out here too often.
And also, we're in communication with the neighbors, and we have a good line of communication back and forth. And as soon as we have these agreements figured out, we'll get that to the neighbors too, so that they know what's going on and what we've agreed to. And stuff.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gephardt.
Thank you.
And Mr. Gephardt, you're thinking that it's going to be before October 4th that the neighbors would know what?
Yes.
Would you have worked out?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
It'll be in a draft form. It won't be a signed document, but we'll have hammered out the details.
Thank you. Any additional questions, commissioners? None? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gephardt. Anyone else like to come forward?
Hello, everybody. My name is Margaret Booker, and I live at 6395 North Oakland Gravel Road on the farm that's mid-picture. So it's a big open area just beyond Willowbrook. And the farm would be, and that piece that the arrow is on just a second ago, would most likely be annexed if this goes forward to fruition. I'm concerned about the tabling. I got good preliminary information from Mr. Gephardt, but I don't yet have a full picture of what this request was. So I'm very interested to see this draft, at which point I'll have a better picture of how we move forward. So I'm neither here nor there in terms of tabling or going forward, but I am anxious to see what this agreement contains and to be back in front of you on the 4th. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Commissioners, any questions for Speaker? I see none. Thank you. If no one else would like to come forward, we're good. Commissioners, any further discussion or discussion on this? Mrs. Russell.
How about a motion?
I would love a motion.
In the case of 18-166, I move to table the item until the October 4th commission meeting.
Second.
Thank you. Ms. Russell has made a motion for case 18-166 to table to October 4th. It has received its proper second from Mr. McMahon. Is there any discussion needed on this motion? I see none. Mrs. Burns, when you're ready for roll call, please.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strogman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
My vote is yes. 8-0. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Our recommendation, it will be tabled till October 4th, and we would ask everybody to come back if you can. If you're not able to come back, you're always welcome to send comments to city staff, Mr. Zinner, and he will make sure that we get those. He always does. So if you can't attend, we understand, but send your comments because we do want to hear them. So thank you. And with that, we'll move on to our next case. And if you guys, you're welcome to leave if you guys want, or you're welcome to stay. We always like the company. We'll give you guys a second to get out. Going on to our first public hearing of the evening, case 18-173, request by Luke Servain on behalf of Melissa M. Williams, the owner, to rezone 0.2 acres from R1, which is the city's one-family residential, to MOF, which is the city's mixed-use office. The subject property is located on the south side of Hereford Road, southeast of the terminus of Burlington Street, and addressed as 1804 Hereford Road. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick note on the public notice for this case. Our public info meeting was held on August 28th. I believe there were two folks in attendance, and they were the applicant and her agent. Postcards were sent out for that, 13 of them total. And then we advertised in the Tribune on the 4th of September and also sent out property owner letters to the same 13 neighboring adjacent property owners. So, into the case. So the applicant's seeking to rezone their property from R1 to MOF to allow for the property to be used for a marriage and family counseling services office. The owner is a licensed counselor and intends to have sessions in the home. The applicant's not proposing redevelopment of the property. There would only be minor interior modifications to the home so that it functions as an office. UDC permits home occupations. However, since the owner would not be residing in the home, that's why we're here. That's why the rezoning is now required. It can't be considered a home occupation. So the neighboring properties are residential to the east and to the north and northeast, as you can see from the aerial photo there. There's commercial to the west, which is just off the screen in the area you can see is zoned MC on the far west side of that map there. And then in a weird kind of remnant situation, the property immediately to the south, which is this area here, this wedge of land here that was left from the dedication of I-70 right-of-way, is actually still zoned industrial. And as is a number of properties to, as are a number of properties to the north and northeast up here. So just a little bit of context information. So there is actually an R1 lot to the west here of the subject property, which is a bit of an odd situation. However, as you can see from the aerial, kind of clearly, this is stormwater detention. All of that has been utilized for stormwater detention. For the Columbia Honda property, which is the neighboring commercial to the west there. So it kind of limits what can happen on that property. And so, you know, ideally that probably should have been rezoned along with the rest of the Honda property. It didn't happen for whatever reason, but that R1 parcel is likely never to be developed with a single family home. So some information there. So the subject lot was originally part of a 14-lot residential single-family neighborhood, platted in 1956. Since then, the area has evolved into this heavy commercial, light industrial type mix of uses, and slowly but surely, the single-family homes have been kind of removed and replaced with those uses. So we're down to just the six that you see in the aerial photo there. So the isolation that presents and the improvements in the area suggest that development patterns in the future will likely force most of these single family homes out of there. And, you know, this may be kind of the first step in that, and that's something that'll just happen organically over probably a fairly long amount of time. But I think that, you know, allowing an office in this area is probably agreeable. So the Columbia Imagine Plan designates this as neighborhood district, which would normally present non-residential uses that serve the neighboring property owners. And I believe the scale of the business, the service here would be geared community-wide and not necessarily on such a local level. So in that sense, it doesn't necessarily fit the neighborhood district definition. However, staff supports the rezoning given the contextual zoning patterns, and because the appearance of the neighborhood will not be impacted because there will be no major modifications to the home, it'll still look like a single family home from the outside. So our recommendation, the MOF zoning is supported by staff and believed to be consistent with adjacent zoning and development patterns, and we would recommend the approval of the request to rezone the property to MOF.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Appreciate the staff report. Commissioners, questions of staff? Ms. Lowe.
Were there any public comments? You mentioned how many cards were sent out, but...
There were, I believe, two phone calls, and they were more questions than comments, and it was just, you know, what's happening, and just informational, and there were no substantive comments.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer.
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Palmer, just a context question. I'm glad you mentioned the Honda R1 property. Is the way I understand the bioretention center, that cannot be developed. Is that a correct statement?
I believe unless the entire property were redeveloped, that's true.
All right. And so then the second question is also a context question. We have that wedge, as you called it, that sliver of IG property back there. Is that really three separate IG lots? Is that what that is?
Yes, I believe that's true.
And that doesn't look like, well, two of them don't look like they have the size to be anything. But
no.
I'm just wondering about from future context here.
I believe, like I said, they were what was left of lots that got almost completely consumed by the road right-of-way for I-70. And they're under separate ownership and everything. So,
all right. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Odd situation.
Mr. Palmer, I've got a couple questions. How do we handle parking? Did we look at number of stalls in this? I drove through there, and it's not really a parking. I mean, it's gravel. Yeah. It's a driveway.
We discussed that at the concept review meeting, and I honestly don't remember what we discussed. But I know that there is room there for at least two cars, if not three. And I know that the size of the home or the office is going to be limiting in the number of folks that can be there at one time anyway. So you'll probably see the counselor there, and then also maybe a short overlap of patients as they come and go, but it should probably never be more than three people there at any one time.
Kind of in that same vein, what about lighting? Do we hold this to the same standard that we would other MOF zoning and mandate lighting standards of some type?
I don't believe lighting was discussed.
Lighting would not be. We'd have signage restrictions as it relates to it.
Can you keep, that was one of my questions too. What is that? There's no signage or
In the MOF district? Yes, we do have signage requirements. And hold on here, I'll get to those. I was trying to get to the parking first, but let's handle lighting as part of the neighborhood protection standards. If any lighting were to be placed on this property, it would have to be reduced because the adjacent properties are both R1. That does require that light heights go down to a maximum of 20 feet. Through neighborhood protection. Again, there is nothing that mandates any type of security lighting or anything else, so the lighting issue is not going to come into play. And then as it relates to signage, that is going to be driven by business sign. Is business use signs outside of our MDT? It's the wrong one. Hold on here. In the MOF district on a collector or a non-residential street, which is, I believe, what Hereford would probably be classified as, maximum of a 10-foot tall sign, freestanding sign. It'd have to be permitted. Must be located 10 feet off of the public right-of-way. You'll notice that this does not have a sidewalk on it. It would not be required to put a sidewalk in unless the parcel were redeveloped. Hence the support that staff has for it. The characteristics of this property are going to be still unnoticeable as an office use. A 10-foot monument style sign that would be a maximum of 48 square foot would probably be overkill for this small home. That does have the opportunity for wall signage and our wall signage standards within the MOF district for the same road class, local non-residential, would be a maximum of 48 total square feet. So, I mean, that's an 8 by 6 sign, which would be pretty significant based on the size of the structure.
And if any of those items were wanting, it sounds like right now the applicant's not interested in doing any of those items, but I'm just thinking long term. If the lighting was, you know, if someone wanted to increase the lighting or the signage to, you know, the 10-foot pole or the wall pack, would they come back through the city to get some type of permitting so that we could protect that resident that's next to them?
Signage and the lighting, which would require a sign permit to be issued. So yes, we would review that. Lighting would likely require some type of electrical permit if it was a freestanding pole light. If it was a wall pack, which wall packs are, if I'm not incorrect, prohibited within our code, we wouldn't allow that unless it was a security light for a residential property.
Right.
This is no longer going to be in that zone classification to where a farm shed light or some type of barn light type scenario. It doesn't fall into that category anymore if it is rezoned.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have commercial and office general design requirements that would potentially be applied to anything that would be modified on the structure. The applicant is here as well as their agent. I would imagine they can answer very specifically what their intent is.
You know, I agree with staff report that, you know, I plan on supporting it. I think that, you know, long term, that at least those three residents on the south side of Hereford, I apologize for incorrectly saying that earlier, will be something besides residential in long term, probably because it's not probably ideal, but you know that house right next door is R1, so I feel like we need to protect that residence because they are a resident and they think they have a residence next door. That's, you know, and I can see some value of some signage to I-70 and might take advantage of, you know, putting some signs there if I owned it as a business. And lastly, trash. Is there any differences in trash, or is that just the bag out at the curb?
Likely it would be bag at the curb, same type of trash collection that currently exists.
Okay. Mr. McMahon?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for doing some follow-up. Speaking in the future, how this lot is 8,000 square feet, something like that. How big of a building could they're to receive their MOF and say in 10 years they want to develop it into a larger MOF facility? How large could that building be?
So the first impact to that property when they redevelop will be right-of-way dedication, and it would match the right-of-way on the to the west there. So that's going to be a significant drop in the
They're going to lose 500 feet anyway.
Yeah, and so that, of course, would further limit the size of an office building there. And so I would...
And the setbacks change because of R1. We'll assume it's going to be R1. 20 years in the future.
And you're R1, you're adjacent to R1 still, so those impacts would have to be mitigated through the neighborhood protection standards. So you're looking at a very small office building, I think.
So potentially, I'm trying to remember here, Mr. Zenner, I'm sure will help me. The building could be 36 feet tall and maybe 30 by 30, 40 by 40, something like that.
Not unless it could be 35 feet tall in the MOF. You'd have to set at that point. You'd have to either step the building down within 25 feet of the property line, so your adjoining R1 was no higher than the adjoining R1 property line had no structure greater than 24 feet.
24, then 35.
Increase your setback or increase your side yard setback from the residential use by an additional 10 feet, which would mean you'd have, I believe, a 25-foot side yard setback on the east side of this property, further shifting the building, any future building, to the west. The likelihood, and I would stand to agree with Mr. Palmer, the likelihood of this building in and of itself being torn down, redeveloped into something more intense is remote to almost non-existent. You have parking, stormwater, platting, none of which would be able to be accommodated, plus a structure. The remaining two lots, possibly to the east, and the property that's zoned IG would probably need to be merged to create something that was more
economically viable. I'm thinking forward, and I'm glad the chairman brought that up. Thinking about these neighborhoods, I travel through this area somewhat, and while I may agree with the long-term analysis, I just want to take in consideration that we're not creating the conditions to drive the neighbors out.
100% agree, Mr. McMahon. Any additional questions, commissioners? If not, we'll open this up to public hearing. If you'd like to come forward and give us your name and address, we would welcome you.
Members of the commission, I'm Ron Luke. I'm the land surveyor for this request for rezoning. Offices at 914 North College here in Columbia. The Mr. Palmer stole most of my thunder there. He's giving you guys a preview of everything that's going on with the place there. The zoning across the road is still R1. There's six lots remaining out of this 1956 subdivision that are residences. The one directly across the street is a rental. The one to the east is a rental. And northeast at the corner of Burlington and Hereford is a rental. Three rentals, there's three owners, of which my client, Mrs. Carter, or Williams, is one of the owners. She bought this in 2007, lived there for 4 years, and as a counselor, she's looking at having this for her office. About the most signage that she's proposing will be a plaque on the garage or on the side of the door as you enter the place. And as far as lighting, there's no intention of, at this time, of any sort of exterior lighting other than what's there right now from street lighting. Her office hours are to be over by 6 p.m. So, evening lighting is not really a desired change to the property. The driveway will accommodate two cars, and if she has two people there at one time or two vehicles traveling there at one time, one would have to wait until the counseling with one couple is finished. And as far as anything else, staff has pretty well covered it. If you got any questions, I'll be happy to entertain them, see if I can answer you.
Thank you, Mr. Luke. Commissioners, you have any questions for the speaker? Real quick, Mr. Luke, would there be weekend hours, Saturday?
Not at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Luke. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to come forward? I see none. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Commissioners, discussion, additional questions of staff, a motion? Mr. McMahon.
I have a motion if we are at that point.
I think we are.
In the matter of case 18-173, rezoned from R1 to MOF zoning, I move that we approve.
Second.
Thank you. We have received a motion to approve case 18-173 by Mr. McMahon. It has received its proper second from Ms. Rushing. Do we have any discussion needed on this motion? I see none. Mrs. Burns, when you're ready for a roll call, please.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
My vote is yes. 8-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Burns. Our recommendation for approval of case 18-173 will be forwarded to City Council for their consideration. Thank you all. We'll move on to our second case, public hearing case of this evening, case 18-175. A request by Simon and Strumpf Engineering on behalf of MBS Realty Partners requesting a major amendment to the existing MBS OP plan and approval of a new PD plan to be known as Boone County Family Resources PD plan. The applicant is also seeking design exceptions from sections 29-4.4F and sections 29-4.6C1 of the UDC pertaining to parking, lot landscaping, and entry door placement, respectfully. The 2.44-acre site is located on the north side of the West Ash Street between Heather Lane and Fairview Road and is addressed as 2700 West Ash Street. May we have a staff report, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Public notice for this case, similar to the last one, public info meeting on August 28th. I believe there were... I had a note here somewhere. I believe there were three people in attendance. There were three folks in attendance, and they were all neighbors, I believe, actually. I didn't attend that meeting myself. Mr. Zinner covered for me. So I don't remember or know what was discussed necessarily outside of...
I didn't cover that one for you.
Oh, I thought... Maybe I'm confusing cases now. I'm sorry. I don't seem to remember that meeting, but I know it was held. So there were 10 postcards sent for that meeting and also 10 property owner letters sent, and it was advertised on September 4th also. So I'm confused. Clint did? Okay. Somebody did. So this is the existing PD plan, of course, zoomed into the meaty details there. As you can see, there's a somewhat small building towards the center of the site, stormwater to the north within the open space between the building and the road. Large dashed line over here is tree preservation, or on this map it's actually called native vegetation preservation. But that's important, and I'll point that out in a moment. And then as you can see, sidewalk or the parking lot is cut off roughly halfway across the site from east to west. So the new plan and what has made what has caused it to be considered a major revision is the much larger building footprint and also the larger impervious area of the parking lot. So basically all the open space has been now encumbered by the building itself, and they intend to add 10,000 square feet in order to house the office functions of Boone County Family Resources. I'm sorry, I skipped that at the beginning as part of the intro. The property is currently owned by MBS, and they intended to use that for an expansion of their offices across the street because their headquarters are on this northern lot here. And they have decided to sell the property to Boone County Family Resources, and the building on the previous plan wasn't probably enough for them, and definitely not for their 10-year growth plan, which is what this building footprint is based on. So it'll give them plenty of office space for now, and then allow them some room to grow. And the same is true of the parking lot, which I'll get to in a moment. So as I said, it's sought to facilitate sale of the property to Boone County Family Resources. The sale of the property is actually contingent on approval of the PD amendment. So the building is intended to house the Boone County Family Resources offices, and the revised plan is just intended to better serve their needs of the staff and clientele. So amendments, I've hit most of these already, I believe, but there's 10,000 square feet of additional floor area. There's actually a 5-foot additional height due to grading considerations. The agent who's here tonight to answer any questions indicated to me that the hope is that they'll still maintain the original 45-foot maximum height, but because of the grading on the property, there was concern that the location of the building may impact that and cause a little bit of a headache. So they thought maybe if they could be granted an extra 5 feet, they would be appreciative of that, but that is what they're asking for on the plan. So there's a total of 27 additional parking spaces on the site, and again, that is in excess of what is required of them. They would be required 111 spaces, I believe, and they are providing a total of 156 spaces. The original plan was proposed with 129. So that 150, kind of getting ahead of myself here. Let me just go. As part of the parking requirements, we'll get into these requested exceptions. One consideration of the parking area and the number of parking spaces was the fact that there's a requirement in the code. If you're over 100 spaces, you're required a 10-foot wide landscape island to mitigate some of that impervious area. And so section 29.4.4F is what requires that. And the plan contains 45 spaces in excess of the 111 required, which are there to accommodate the growth that I mentioned before. One thing that we noted in later review, which you can't really see on here, the parking stalls on this plan are actually a little bit larger than necessary according to the code. They are 18 and a half feet in depth. And so part of our recommendation is actually to eliminate 2 feet of total parking across the width of that lot. So eliminate that half foot per stall. And then we'll get into that in a second here. So let's see. All right. So a decrease in stall dimensions would actually offset a portion of the 10% landscaping requirement, which is the next exception. So section 29.4.6C1 requires, I'm sorry, I've skipped ahead. What's that?
Talking about the reduction. Okay.
So the parking lot landscaping, it is required at 10%, I believe, on the plan. They're providing 6, and then with the reduction in parking stalls, they would be a little bit closer to 8. So they're still below that threshold that's required by code, but as allowed in PD plans, the exceptions are permitted to be sought. So that's up to you guys to decide. Let's see. The other exception would be the 29.4.6C1, which requires an entry door facing the street from which the property is addressed. The original entrance on the first plan faced to the east, and it's the applicant's hope that they can just maintain that location. And the access, sidewalk access, would be allowed from the property's street frontage. There's actually a now defunct bus stop that they hope to get reopened right at that location, but then there would also be the sidewalk and entrance access from the north property line and street right of way down to the front door. So that would be another exception they're requesting. So an office building would be considered an appropriate use in this location. There's a business park zoning to the north for the original MBS property. There is residential to the south, but it is actually the Broadway Christian Church campus. And then there's PD to the west, and that's actually the academy, the academic employees credit union. So more of a an office use itself. And then MN, which is of course our mixed use neighborhood district for a small commercial business to the east. Therefore the office use proposed here would be considered appropriate. So our recommendation would be to approve the major PD plan amendment, however subject to a reduction in the parking spaces, as I mentioned. That would allow for the increase in width of the internal landscape strip to 8 feet instead of 6. And then granting the design exception to section 29.4.6(c)(1), which is the requirement for a door facing the street from which it's addressed. And I know I got there in a circuitous route, so if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. I forgot to do this earlier, but at this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to this case 18-175, please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information in front of us. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Are there any questions for staff? Ms. Rushing.
Are there any tree preservation requirements on this property? It's totally covered with trees right now.
Yeah, so the same tree preservation area has been maintained here, and actually the building is pushed almost right up to it. But that was...
That whole west end.
Correct. And actually, the original plan depicted the area as 0.33 acres, I believe, which was what was required, but their area that they denoted on the plan was a little bit larger. So I think that this is technically a little smaller on the plan, but it is what was required and is required now by the UDC. It's the 25%.
Ms. Lowe.
Mr. Palmer, you mentioned a 5-foot height. I didn't pick up on that in your report to us, and I'm not seeing it in the final recommendation. So I'm curious.
It was, I think it was glossed over a little bit in the report, but so the original plan, which you probably can't read in the middle of the building here, says height less than 45 feet. And then on this one, they just changed it to 50. Again, it's the site has some pretty extreme grading that they'll have to contend with. And Mr. Simon's here to explain a little bit better, but I think that's the major concern, is just that how we measure the height of the building and where he'll have to locate it based on the grading may dictate that it be slightly higher than 45 feet. So he was hoping to get a little bit of leeway in that.
Thank you.
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This structure will be how many stories?
It is two stories with a basement, I believe.
All right. And where will the bioretention facility?
It will be
undergrounded.
Yeah, it's undergrounded, and this there's a dash line here under the parking lot that will replace the open space area that was north of the building on the previous plan.
In future, just a request, I would love to have, I understand we don't right now, and Planner Smith is not here, but that community feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Any additional questions, commissioners? Mr. Palmer, just for clarification, you mentioned we'll be closer to 8% of parking lot landscaping with the reduction.
I believe Mr. Simon's prepared to explain that a little more in depth, but basically, as part of our review and kind of last minute, hence it wasn't on the plan, we determined or discovered that the parking stalls were deeper than they needed to be. And so we were ready to move forward with it as is and go with the 6-foot strip and make a recommendation based on that. However, we noticed that there's that extra half foot on each of those lanes of parking or rows of parking, and so kind of discovered that that's an additional 2 feet available there that doesn't need to be encumbered by parking spaces and impervious area. So that would allow 2 feet of additional landscape strip down the center of the parking lot. And again, it's 10 feet is required and a total of 10% of your impervious area. And so he would be at 8 feet, and it's strange how it's worked out, but it'd be roughly 8% of his impervious area.
That was my clarification, because I saw 8 foot once, and then I saw the 8%, so mm-hmm. I was just making sure I wasn't mistaken. And then the property owner directly to the south is the church, the farm ground or the
that's correct,
garden
yeah.
ground, I guess.
Yeah, they own the entire parcel to the south.
Okay, thank you. Any additional questions? I see none. We'll go ahead and open that to a public hearing. We just ask you give us your name and address, and we'd welcome you to come forward.
Keenan Simon, 210 Park Avenue. I'm the applicant agent. We can do this one of two ways. I can kind of give you my presentation, or I can answer some of the questions that you have straight off. What would you like? I'll just start with my, I guess, my presentation. All right, so this is the site that we just talked about. Just to kind of give you guys, bring you up to speed, we had a neighborhood meeting on September 11th that included, there were invites passed out to all the neighbors. We mainly only had people attend from the off-Broadway condominiums and Broadway Christian Church. We also supplied the city at late notice support letters from both of those, both the director for the off-Broadway condominiums and the Broadway Christian Church. And I can pass those out to you if you'd like to take a look at them as well, but they're both in support of this development. So what I'd like to do is, I guess, kind of give you a little bit of history of the site so you have a background of kind of what we're dealing with and the challenges we have. The original PD plan for this site was actually just a parking lot in 2010. And really what drove the size of this lot or parcel was essentially the developer saying, I want to buy the least amount of property and still be able to meet my development needs. So back then, prior to the new UDC, there was zoning code that allowed you to not have interior landscaping, which you can see from this, from the first PD plan approved in 2010, that there's no interior landscaping and that the two rows of parking are stacked and there's not a lot of space to the north or the south, really to provide for a grading transition, and there's quite a bit of fall across the site. Fast forward to 2015, MBS came back, decided they wanted to have an office building there with a parking lot, so they reduced the parking lot size, added the office building. That brings us to this plan, which Rusty showed you previously, with the detention being to the north of the building, footprint being a slightly smaller, and then the parking lot on the east side. Which brings us to tonight, where we're revising that 2015 PD plan to fit the needs for Boone County Family Resources. Really what we're looking for with them is an increase in the square footage of the building and then also an increase in parking. And this is really to support their 10-year growth plan. Here's the PD plan that was submitted. Where we came to get what we needed for their parking. Currently on their site downtown, they have 95 stalls. At their facility, they have about 85 employees, and then they currently have 5 to 10 stalls that they kind of keep open for client visits. Moving forward with their projected growth, they're gonna be needing over 150 stalls. Really what this comes down to is the amount of growth they've had with employees adding additional services for the people in the community. Their 10-year I guess growth projections would be an increase to about 142 employees. With the 142 employees, they also would probably need 10 to 15 stalls for client business, which kind of puts us right in that range of what we have shown on the PD plan. In regards to the interior landscaping to the parking lot, we support the city's, in revising the stall depth to 18 feet, that does gain us an additional 2 feet to maximize that interior landscaping strip. With this revision, the interior landscaping would then be about 8%, like Rusty said. We feel like this does show the, or it does, is a good compromise and meets the intent of the UDC. Really, the problem we have from a civil standpoint is across the site, I have about 13 foot of fall. On a typical parking lot, you really only want 4 or 5% fall, which gives you about 3 to 4 feet across one stacked section of parking. So in real world, it would be nice to only have less than 10 foot of fall across this whole property, when in actuality we have about 14, which every foot we give to provide to that interior landscaping is either more, I guess, retaining wall that we'd have to do, or some other type of, design practice that would be expensive for Boone County Family Resources to make it work. So we feel like this is a good fit with what we were given and what the lot was set at back in the day whenever there wasn't an interior, interior landscaping required prior to the UDC. Really, I just want to thank you for your time, and we hope you can come out and support Boone County Family Resources. And if you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you, Mr. Simon. Yeah. Commissioners, any questions of the speaker? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Simon, good evening. You talked to me about that bioretention facility a little bit, and before we go there, has there been a subsoil survey done in that approximate location?
Yeah, so we have had a geotechnical report done. Really what we're looking at doing would be an ADS water quality unit with the vaulted cells that, it's not a bioretention cell. It's a little bit different way of treating the water. Based off the stormwater manual, we feel like we can hit all those level of services for stormwater quality and detention with this system. It's a little bit more of an expensive system, but, to meet their needs, for the site, the cost is worth.
I was concerned. I have been concerned because I am somewhat familiar with the property and the flow, and that's a lot of open space for so much fall, and keeping the water on site.
I'm aware.
I'm sure as a challenge has been a challenge for you.
Yeah, no. We've took some preliminary grading stabs at this, and we have some concepts that we feel like we can make work, but there is some challenges. You are correct.
Okay, and can you talk to me about the height there? Commissioner Lowe, did you want to address some specific issues about height? All right. But you feel that 5 feet is going to get you where you need to go?
We feel like we'll be below the 45. The 5 feet is a little bit of a cushion for us. So essentially the way that the height of a structure is defined is 4 points outside the corner of the building of what the grades are, then they're averaged to the height. Depending what we do with retaining wall and stepping down to the basement, that's where we were a little bit unsure of how that definition actually plays into what we'll need, if that makes sense.
Ms. Lowe.
So what would the height be from the top, from the garage or the parking lot level?
So from the, I guess we'll call it the first level where you enter, there would only be 2 stories visible.
Okay.
And that the floor to floor heights are somewhere in the 13 to 14 feet range is my understanding.
Thank you.
Any additional questions, commissioners? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Simon.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Robin Kaufman. I'm the Executive Director at Boone County Family Resources, and our address is 1209 East Walnut Street, Columbia, downtown. And thank you again for considering our request. Just in case you don't know, Boone County Family Resources, we serve about 1,800 persons with developmental disabilities of all ages, from babies to senior citizens. We provide a number of services like employment services, helping people get a job. We do training to help people live more independently in the community. We provide support coordination, purchase a number of other services, and provide residential services as well. And I brought some annual reports just in case you want to learn a little bit more about us. Last year, we had 9% growth in the number of persons we served, and we've been experiencing growth every year. So we are, needing to hire the staff to provide, service coordination and other services to those individuals. We've been planning for this for some time and know that we've had this need for more space. Right now, in our current office building, we have 57 offices, and we have, as Keenan said, 85 to 90 staff there. So we have some people in the hallway with partitions, 2 people in single offices, and that kind of thing to try to make do until we can get our new office space. Parking is also an issue where we're at now. There's not enough parking places for our staff that are there, and sometimes we have meetings and things like that. Don't have enough space. Plus, there's a lot of students that park on our lot as well. But anyway, we really are in need of more parking, too. We have some meeting rooms in our current building, and we're really excited about the plans for our new office, where we'll have a large community room. We don't have a place now for all of our 135 staff to meet together for meetings or training, and so this will afford that, but also We allow community groups like People First and some other community groups to use our meeting space, so this will help provide for that, too. I do have copies of those support letters from Broadway Christian Church and from Off-Broadway that I can bring up to you. And, you know, I just wanted to say that Broadway Christian Church is very supportive, and we've been partnered with them on a number of different projects. They host our Cookies with Santa for little kids that we support every year. And we've also already started talking to them about how we can maybe partner together to make their accessible gardens a little bit more accessible for folks with disabilities. So anyway, I think that's pretty much all I was going to say, unless you have any other questions for me.
Thank you, Ms. Kaufman. Commissioners, do we have any questions for the speaker? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, sir. Just one quick question. Your current facility, do you plan to still utilize that, or are you going to sell it, or what are you guys going to do?
We will not use it, but that'll be a board decision. But they have asked me to seek an appraisal, and so we are certainly considering selling it to help pay for the cost.
Thank you. Oh, in fairness, you are my neighbor.
Oh, okay.
So just so everyone knows that.
Oh, okay. Good.
She didn't know that.
We love being downtown and really looked at options there, but it was just so much more costly.
Much more expensive.
Yeah. I've got a couple of questions, Ms. Kaufman. Help me. Evidently, most of your clients are served by your employees leaving. So you go to them more than them coming to you if you're only needing 10 more stalls. Is that correct, or is it?
That is correct. You know, and that's an estimate. It just depends, because we do have staff out visiting clients during the day. We have open spaces for people that might come for a meeting. But we do provide some training. We have some classes on budgeting and getting a job and living in your first apartment and healthy lifestyles and things like that we do have, where there's small groups that come to our site. But for the most part, you're right. The services are out in the community.
So you're comfortable that the parking will be accommodate your current needs as well as future, and as well as your clients that do come to your property?
Yeah, I think it should meet our current needs and future.
Thank you. Any additional questions, commissioners? I see none. Thank you, Ms. Kaufman.
Bring these letters of support.
You're welcome, Mr. Martin. We can pass them around. If you just hand them, Ms. Rush, in there, make it easier. We can pass them down. Thank you. Anyone else have to come forward this evening? If not, we'll go ahead and close this public hearing. Commissioners, we can wait till the paperwork comes down, but I think we are confident we know what the paperwork is. Any discussion, additional items needed from staff?
I have a question for the chair and perhaps for Mr. legal. As I understand that we have requests by the client for design exemptions listed, and we have helping us form motions, and we have perhaps best practice as determined by staff and apparently seconded by the Simons. Whichever direction we get, when we may need some clarity. Are you with me? You guys with me on that?
For your motion?
Yeah, whatever the motion may be, if that's some in-between motion or...
We'll give you the language.
If you'd like to follow our recommendation, which is up to you.
Well, there are...
It's laid out there on the slide.
One of the reasons I mentioned this is because there are four or five. Depending on how we do this, there could be several tweaks, design adjustments type thing. All right.
So, Mr. Mann, are you going to make a motion?
Yes. Can we go back to the page with the design exemptions on it so I can...
This one has everything but the height for some reason.
That's why Lee's here.
Does the height need to be itemized?
Is that the design section?
It would be... No, it is on the plan. So if you approve the plan, you de facto approve the height adjustment.
My motion would sound something like this: 18,175 per design adjustment. And if we were to adopt staff suggestions, that would have to be an amendment, would it not?
Mm-mm. No, you can just make that.
Just make the motion based on whatever parts of it you like.
I believe Commissioner Russell feels very confident in making this motion, and I think I'm going to pass that baton to her.
Ms. Russell, would you like to try?
Sure. In regards to case 18-175, I move to approve the major PD plan amendment subject to reducing the parking spaces to 8.5 feet times 18 feet, increasing the width of the internal landscape strip to 8 feet, granting the design exception to section 29.4.6(c)(1), and granting the 5-foot height extension on the building.
Second.
Unfortunately, we are not able to take any discussion from the crowd. So, we commissioners, we have a motion has been made by Ms. Commissioner Russell to approve case 18-175 and has received its proper second from Mr. Stanton. Is there any discussions needed on that motion? I see none. Mr. Stanton.
Can I offer an amendment if we discuss it? No? Okay.
Well, pass this one and you'll...
Never mind.
Mrs. Burns, when you're ready for a roll call, please.
Yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
My vote is yes. 8-0. Motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Burns. Our recommendation for case 18-175 for approval will be forwarded to City Council for their consideration. That is all of our cases for this evening. Is there anyone from the public that would like to come forward this evening and give us any comments? Staff, Mr. Zinner, would you like to give us some comments?
Yes. Your next meeting will be on October 18th. Mm-hmm. October 18th. Why? I apologize. October 4th. You do not get an extra week off. If you haven't noticed, you have a new PowerPoint presentation in front of you this evening, and in my zealousness in preparing it for tonight, I was a week, 2 weeks in advance. But you have a meeting on the 4th of October, and there are a number of items on that agenda, one of which we moved on this evening. So your upcoming cases for October 4th are such. You have a subdivision design modification for a sidewalk. This is Victory Church up off of Ballinger, Route PP, about our east side of town. Request for a design modification again for the requirement to install sidewalk along Ballinger Road as it relates to the construction of a new church, which is constructed at this point and waiting to be issued a full CO, if I understand correctly, subject to this design modification on the sidewalk. It is roughly, if I'm not incorrect, about a half a mile worth of sidewalk on their frontage. There are some issues that we will raise with you as it relates to the sidewalk. This is also a segment of Ballinger Lane that is being upgraded to have the pedway on either side, the pedestrian pavement expansions adjacent to the roadway. But we will have more information for you on the 4th with that. Then we have a number of public hearings. Discovery Park South, PD, major plan revision and an approval of a new plan. This is a case that has been tabled several times and is now coming off of its tabling and is intended to be discussed. This is a property that is south of the Discovery Gans Road interchange. Would be the extension of Endeavor Drive, which is just off of the interchange to the west of Ponderosa. The eastern boundary of the subject tract actually is Ponderosa, south of the interchange location. Cullimore Cottages, a name I imagine that has been designated in honor of Dan Cullimore, one of our community activists that passed away earlier this year. This is a city project. This is going to be our second cottage project, similar to what we have built off of Lynn Street, a little bit larger. It is proposed to be a plan zone with a development plan, and that will be discussed in greater detail as well. I imagine we will have Mr. Cole here from our CDBG division to provide a little bit of background on how the project may operate, as well as we will have the engineer, which is Crockett Engineering, representing. University Chrysler Subaru, this is another PD plan major amendment. This particular project has resulted due to the removal of a required screening buffer to upgrade the original buffer that was there because it was dilapidated and falling down, and the applicant desires to make modifications to a 1972 CP plan that was approved that specified that that screening be provided 10 feet off of their property line to the north, closer to the existing parking lot of the dealership. They're proposing to move it back and put landscaping back in more in accordance with our current UDC requirements, which would be on the inside of the fence, not the outside. Again, we'll do a little bit more detail with that for you. That one may also have some additional public comment provided as a result of a controversy that has existed, long-standing controversy, between the adjacent residential development and the commercial development to the north. And then our tabled items, which is a combined action, public hearing and our subdivision for the Ridenour permanent zoning request, and then Oakland Crossing plat number one. That is the single family development I spoke of today, which would have the two out parcel lots to it that were the MN and the MC parcels. Just to familiarize yourself with the locations, Victory Christian Church, as you can see, that very long, lengthy frontage that they have, and then the area that is lighter colored here where the pointer is, that is the actual church. This aerial did not show it as being constructed, but it is fully constructed today. Our Discovery Park project, which you have previously seen down there south of the interchange. Then our City of Columbia project for the Cullimore Cottages. This is off of North 8th and Rear Coates. And then the University Subaru, which many of you probably are familiar with its location. They're off of I-70 Drive, southwest. And then, of course, our Ridenour annexation, permanent zoning, and we're not going to talk about annexation, just remember that. And then, of course, the Oakland Crossing project, the same area, but it includes those out parcels that I had indicated that would be the MN and the MC. We will also, as we discussed this evening in our work session, we are going to spend a half a work session finishing up our discussion and some of your thoughts as it relates to the Rock Quarry Scenic Road Advisory Group's corridor plan for Rock Quarry Road as a result of council direction through the SRO overlay for that particular roadway. And I believe we will also potentially have a discussion of our the pending and our status of where we are on our vacation rentals or our VROB type of ADU uses that we have that we've been discussing. So those are the items that are coming up. We do have other material that we'll be covering here over the next several work sessions as it relates to comprehensive plan related elements, as well as getting back, I think, into the scorecard discussion that we have been talking about as well. That is all we have for this evening. We thank you very much for your attention and your time.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Appreciate your comments and the review of next meeting. Commissioners, any comments from commissioners?
Mr. McMahon.
Before you make your motion, commissioners, I would like to make a statement. October 4th, I'm plan on being absent, and Mr. Stanton made me aware this evening he's going to be absent also for the October 4th meeting. So if anyone else is not going to be here, if you could please let Mr. Zinner and Ms. Lowe know, because we could run into a quorum situation, and it's obviously a stacked meeting, so we definitely want to give notice if we have a concern. So with that, Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adjourn.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. We are adjourned. Thank you.